from the SEC Network and ESPN. Cole Kublik also has his own radio show in Huntsville each weekday morning. Cole, thanks for the time. I had wanted to spend a good bit of our time talking Will Muschamp, and we will. But tell you what, more tragedy there at Auburn, and condolences to everybody involved down there, because I know it's been a tough couple of years with some things that have zero to do with football taking place.
No, there's no doubt about it. It's just to think about a kid that's 18 years old and has so much promise, and you hear nothing but what positive things about Jaquel Mitchell. And whether it has, you know, whether it's somebody who covered him in high school or knew him as he's reported to camp in Auburn, or you see what he did in the spring and guys visited with him, made some plays in the spring game, and just needed to kind of grow into that H-back position a little bit more, and teammates of his, guys that worked out with him, you don't really hear anything negative about the young man. And to think about the fact that he won't see 19 years old and had so many opportunities in front of him on and off the field, it's just disappointing to think that someone could easily end another person's life that way. And then, like you said, just the coincidence that it's at the same apartment complex that Ed Christian and Ladarius Phillips had their lives taken in 2012. And the fact that these kids on this team, you hate it for his family, and you can't even comprehend how his parents and his relatives deal with this. And you think about kids on this football team. Chris, I left Auburn 14 years ago. I've lost one teammate since I left.
Yeah.
And we lost one while we were in school. We had a kid that battled leukemia. His name is Josh Balkum. He's an offensive lineman with us. And he left school, and I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years later, he passed away. And yeah, that was one of those deals that you had some time to kind of mentally and emotionally prepare for it. But for these kids on this team, 18 to 22 years old, now having to deal with this multiple times, and these are some kids that were teammates with Philip Lutzenkirchen as well. So right. You've lost five friends, five brothers, five teammates in the course of 3 years. It's less than 3 years. I don't know how those kids can cope with that. I can't imagine dealing with it at that age. I don't think I would have been prepared for that. You know, I lost my grandmother when I was a sophomore in college. I remember I had to attend her funeral 2 days before Tua Day started, and just I didn't do very well at all. And that's a very difficult situation to ask kids that age. You know, thankfully they'll be back on the practice field today, kind of get back into a routine and be around each other and be able to see each other, hang around each other, talk to each other. I think you know, times like this, you need that team mentality. You need that routine back in your life to kind of help things just feel somewhat normal again.
No, I agree completely, and it's, you know, you hear people sometimes say, well, it's almost therapy. It is. It's something to give you a distraction. It's nowhere near as important as life or death, but for them to take their minds off of that for a couple of hours. And I went through a similar deal senior year in high school. My mother passed away a couple of weeks before the season started for basketball, and to have to not go home every day, to have that to think about, to have teammates to be with, to have something else to do, to kind of channel your thoughts and your energy, is very helpful at times like this. The young man himself, Jaquel Mitchell, there's been a lot of outpouring from Alabama kids. Help me on this, because you know I don't follow recruiting that closely, but this is a kid that Alabama had looked at very strongly and recruited as well, had they not?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I thought that was maybe part of why you saw, you know, C.J. Mosley, not just because of the SEC connection there, but I was realized, you know what, he probably, if Jaquel being a redshirt this year, if he was indeed recruited by Alabama, as I think he was, then it's very likely C.J. had met the guy and,
sure,
and knew of
yeah.
him, and that's not an uncommon thing, but I think it does speak to the young man again that you've got guys that have zero to do with Auburn directly affected and impacted by his loss.
And you get to know those guys in recruiting, yeah. and a lot of people maintain those relationships and those friendships moving forward. It's not just an in and out kind of a deal. I mean, you get to know those guys, and you hang out with those guys, and you stay in touch with those guys. And obviously, you know, I've got some guys, Colin Sears, I met in recruiting. We ended up being teammates. But, you know, Kenny Smith, the one that not everybody's favorite, Kenny Smith, there in Tuscaloosa. We became good friends in recruiting, and Griff Redmill and I met in recruiting and are still very good friends to this day. So it's not just something that happens in passing, even if you don't end up attending the same school.
Talking to Cole Kublik on the Stella Artois Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Let me ask you, when you and I talked, it was before the Iron Bowl. Congratulations, by the way. I did not go back and watch the full version of the film room there with Feinbaum, but everything I saw was really cool and great reviews on that. And as I told you before, so happy for you. You got the opportunity to be a part of that. But one of the things that you kind of alluded to there, and getting to know the Alabama guys, even though you may wind up at another school. I talked about this after the game. Cole, the thing I love about the Iron Bowl, as bad as some of the fans are, and we both got them, and everybody around the country's got that group you wish you could disown, okay? But I never see any of the stuff. Never see any of the stuff that you saw Michigan, Ohio State year before last. Or last season, I guess I should say. So many of these other games, the garbage between Louisville and Kentucky, I never see that. I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't some things said in the bottom of a pile. But at the same time, why do you think it is that we never see any of the ugly stuff happen on the field in the Iron Bowl that happens in a lot of other games?
I've talked about this before, and the reason for it, in my opinion, is that you and I know, and these kids know, especially the ones that grow up around here and in this state and close to this rivalry, how much this game means to so many different people. And I think just as much as most of these guys want to be the one that makes the play, and it almost seems as though every year we try to take this game and dissect it and pull it apart and find the play, the one play. And obviously the kick six is going to be one to remember for a long time. It could be Van Tiffin. You know, it could be the Ed Sism screen pass. Whatever play you want to go back and find, you usually have that play. And people still talk about, you know, the Lutzenkirchen touchdown there in Bryant-Denny Stadium. But I think even more than guys want to be the one that makes the play is to not be the one that makes that play. And that would be on the other end, the one that maybe cost your team an opportunity to win a game. And you don't want it to be a blown coverage. You don't want it to be a missed assignment. You don't want it to be maybe lack of recognition. So I think that these kids are just laser focused on this game. And a lot of it has to do with the pressure. A lot of it has to do with the hype. A lot of it has to do with the buildup. Because you know, more than any other game you play, there will be more eyes on you and everything that you do in a good way, but it will be multiplied probably 10 times that what you do anything in a negative way. And to me, I just think if these kids, they want to be the guy that makes the play, and they definitely don't want to be the guy that makes that play. And that's why you don't see any of the riffraff. I know for me, I didn't really care, especially in this game. I knew I was going to play this team for 4 years. I knew most of these guys from recruiting. And the last thing I wanted to do is you know, take an Albert Means or a Dwayne Rudd or Jared Johnson and have them try to play better because I made them even more angry than they already were. So, and yes, I threw Albert Means out there because he was very difficult to handle. And I know people don't realize that, but he was a tough, tough dude to go up against. But you didn't want to make guys who were – Alabama had good players on defense. I didn't want to make those guys mad. I don't want to make them better than they were. Cornelius Griffin, he was good enough on his own. I didn't need to help him out. So you get a lot of quality players in this game as well, and you don't need to give them extra motivation.
Cole, just a minute or two left with you. We all know what a good hire Will Muschamp is. Is there are the pieces in place for him to make an immediate impact next year with that defense, or are they a couple of years away in terms of recruiting on that side?
Well, I think it depends on how you define impact. What's your definition of that? Can he improve that defense? Without a doubt. But he doesn't have – he has the recipe, but I don't think he has the bulk load of the ingredients that he needs to make that defense really good next year. And even if Carl Lawson comes back and is fantastic, he's losing most of those guys in the middle. Montrevious Adams will be a kid that is really nice for him. He's got some linebackers that have ability, but – he'll have some moving parts in the secondary. He might be able to turn Moncrief, the JUCO kid, into a heck of a player. I think Jonathan Ford, a safety, will get another shot at corner. You'll have some guys who will move around a little bit, try to do some different things that maybe they're not used to doing, but he's going to be very multiple. similar to what Coach Saban does. I'm not going to get caught up in the fact that he doesn't have a 3-4 nose guard, or he doesn't have a 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher, or he doesn't have a jack linebacker run stopper. I don't think it's so much that. It's just they're not loaded with talent on that side of the football right now. So it's going to be difficult for him. He's not going to be very aggressive. I think he's going to dial it back a lot. I think he's going to play a lot of base defense, a lot of zone defense. And from that perspective, it might not look very exciting. But at the end of the day, for me, the three things that you have to be successful on defense, you have to have your alignment, you have to have recognition, and you have to have attitude, ability. You got to have a motor. And if he can start to get those guys aligned correctly, and they can play fundamental football and do their job, if they can align and they can assign and they can have an attitude, then I sound like a coach right there. But I think you'll see some improvement from that standpoint. Relatability to the kids, getting a little more fire under the kids, getting them to do the little things that they didn't do this season. I think from that perspective, you will get an improvement there. And this defense wasn't very good this year, so I do think they can be better. But don't expect this thing to come in here and all of a sudden be, you know, Texas A&M wrecking crew defense of the 80s or Bill Oliver's 92 Alabama defense. I mean, it's not going to be that kind of deal next year.